You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, it's time for Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that covers everything spoopy in Halloween Town.
Almost a month in advance! Woo!
I'm Josh.
I'm Sam.
I'm a Dracula. I'm Cody.
And I'm Samantha.
Oh man.
Scared me there for a sec. Yeah. Thought I was going to have to scream into the mic there for a sec. Hey, everybody, thanks for tuning in. We have a great show for you this week. Jam-packed with our check-it-outs. We might actually have more than half a show's worth. And then a little bit of news. But first, let's start talking about some of the stuff we've been checking out.
We got plenty. Jam.
Yeah.
I got a Super Nintendo Classic.
Hey we talked too. About it the last week.
Did we?
We didn't really in-depth, though.
Yeah. Is it good? Is it everything you hoped and dreamed for and more?
Man, I forgot how much I hate Mario Kart on the Super Nintendo.
I thought it was okay. I missed the boost drift, but other than that, it's all right. It kind of sucks that it's split screen regardless of if you're playing two player or not.
Yeah, but that's kind of the way the game was built.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really was. I tell you though, that controller feels real nice though.
Yeah, it felt weird to me at first, but only because I'm not used to holding a new one.
Yeah, yeah.
Like most of the, well, any of the Super Nintendo controllers you get now are going to feel worn down from
years of use.
20 years of use and abuse.
Yeah, yeah.
But it feels like a Super Nintendo controller, though, even down to like the rubber start select button.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
I beat Star Fox without even trying.
Right on.
The first one?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I haven't gone back and tried to play the second one yet.
It's good. I've played through on normal mode since I talked about it last, and it's all right. It's meant to be replayed because it's a little bit randomized.
Oh, okay.
And you're meant to go through and try to score the best you can. That's kind of the point of the game.
Gotcha.
Kind of like how the first one had different paths.
Yeah. This time, instead of different paths, it'll be just different planets are randomly populated with the bases you have to go to.
Mm.
But yeah, it's just meant to be replayed like that. It doesn't have like the on-rails levels like the Super Nintendo one has.
Gotcha.
It's basically all range mode stuff.
Mm.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I've played almost every game on it a little bit now.
I played a lot of Super Punch-Out.
Oh, Super Punch-Out is really good.
It's a good game. It's a very good one.
Not my favorite Punch-Out, but it's probably my least favorite Punch-Out, but it's still really good.
It's still
good.
A very good Punch-Out. Yeah.
I'm very bad at it.
There's no such thing as a bad Punch-Out.
Yeah.
Yeah, the way it works is a little different, and I still haven't completely wrapped my head around it. Like, you tire out weird, and like it's hard to time stuff just right.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be just because I'm really used to the NES one. And the Wii one.
The Wii one.
The Wii remake one.
It's basically the NES one.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super Punch-Out has more in common with the arcade version, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Which is also really good. Which I can't wait for him to release that on the Switch.
Yeah, that's going to be really good.
Speaking of which, the port of Mario Brothers
I picked it up.
Came out. Yeah, I bought it. I like it a lot.
I like it, too. They did a really nice job with it.
I like the high score mode.
Mm-hmm.
I like trying to get that high score.
Yep. Same here.
Wait, what?
Mario Brothers.
Like the arcade one?
The old arcade one, yeah. It's on the Switch.
Nice.
For $8.
It's a little steep.
It's a little much.
But you can't get it anywhere else unless you're going to buy the arcade machine. So.
Or emulate it.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that. But yeah.
Or on Super Mario All-Stars.
That's not the same. It's not at all the same. The jumping mechanics are completely different.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can't, change your direction mid-air jump.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's more like Ice Climber.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. I'm glad you're enjoying your Super Nintendo classic.
It's kind of weird to, like, if you leave it sit and let it just idle, eventually Mario will pop up on the screen and he'll run around and, like, hit the different boxes for the different games and gives you, like, little previews of each game.
Luigi will show up and start messing with the options, too, and put it, like, in CRT mode.
Oh, really?
And stuff like that, yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Luckily, it doesn't save what Luigi does.
Okay. Gotcha.
How have you been playing it?
Just whatever the regular settings are.
Oh, the 3-4 ratio?
Yeah.
I had it in Pixel Perfect mode for a while. I honestly didn't really see a difference.
No, I got it, yeah, in 3-4 with the the border that looks like an old TV.
I have the wood grain one with the...
with the Super Famicom logo.
Yeah.
Wood burned on it.
Oh, that's cool.
It's super cool. I really hope they release more of them and make them more accessible to the general public.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
It sure would be nice. Be nice for one of us in here on the radio right now. That'd be pretty cool.
I kind of want them to stop here, though. As much as everybody wants the 64 classic.
Yeah.
This is good.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, still, I think 64s are still easy enough to come by that it's not like...
And the games get pretty pricey, though.
Yeah, I guess it's true.
But there's not as many that... Like, that's the thing about the SNES Classic. Every game on it is good.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one is fantastic.
Yeah. Can you do that with a Nintendo 64?
I don't think so.
Nope.
There's maybe, like, 5 or 8...
Yeah,
good game.
See, they're not going to want to put like a Mario Party on there because they're just now releasing that 100 pack of mini games.
Yeah,
they're not going to want to put. I mean, they could put Mario 64 on there. I can't see them wanting to put Ocarina or Majora's on there because they have
remakes of
3DS ports that are really, really good.
Yeah,
and for that matter, Mario 64 has a couple of really good remakes with added playable characters.
Yeah,
and
the DS one.
Mm-hmm.
If we could get that with full analog control instead of the stupid screen nubby thing.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be nice.
That'd be cool. Yeah, I just don't know. I don't know what they would do.
All the rare games are pretty much gone. You're not going to get Banjo.
Mm-hmm. Donkey Kong 64 is probably out for the most part.
Yeah, they put it on the virtual console.
Oh, that's true. They did that. I mean, they could. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Smash Brothers.
Yeah, they could do that.
Mario Kart.
The Pokemon Stadium games are pointless.
Yeah, because you can't plug your...
Yeah, you can't do the transfer pack unless they put a Wi-Fi adapter in the...
Yeah.
connected to Pokemon Bank, which they're not going
to
do.
They're not
going
to do that, no.
That'd be
madness.
Insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's too much of a weird 3D growing pains period for the games to be that good. That's why the SNES Classic is so good, is because they knew what they were doing. That's the time when they knew what they were doing with 2D.
Yeah, they really nailed it.
They had perfected it.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, man. I really wish Donkey Kong Country 2 would have been on there.
Yeah.
It's probably my favorite entry in the series.
That, yeah, it's the best Donkey Kong Country. That and Chrono Trigger.
Yeah. Didn't one of the versions get Chrono Trigger?
I don't think so.
I thought either the Japanese or the European version got Chrono Trigger.
Nope.
No.
I wonder if Square is doing something with Chrono Trigger, and that's why they didn't put it on there.
Probably. That would be my guess.
Because they put Final Fantasy 3 or 6, however you want to say it. Six
Which is a
nasty.
Really good game. I like that one a lot.
That's my favorite Final Fantasy.
It's really good. It was probably one of the more solid ones in the series.
Yeah, that's actually the one I'm on in my playthrough of all the Final Fantasies. I'm at 6 now.
Right on. Excellent.
Yeah. I beat 5 a while ago. 5 is really good, though.
Yeah.
That's when they had the gameplay, like, figured out. Like, that job system is great. The way it lets you customize your character is so good and so fun.
Awesome.
It's just too bad the story isn't better.
which one's the one with Kefka? I always forget.
Six.
Okay.
Yep. Or three.
Six, three. Yeah.
Three if you're nasty. Six if you're nasty. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the Japanese American port thing. That's the weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they did the same thing with the Dragon Quest series. It was Dragon Warrior.
Yeah.
In the United States, and then
although the numbering never got messed
up.
It's true.
We just never got 5 and 6.
Right. Yeah.
Till much later.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And 5's the best one there is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I really, really like 8.
8 is really, really good, but.
But also, 8's the one I've played the most.
5, you get to play through the hero character's entire life, which is amazing. Like, seriously, you start as, like, a little kid all the way through getting married and having kids that are playable characters.
Wow, yeah.
That is a Dragon Quest right there.
Yeah, it truly was.
The Dragon Quest.
You guys want to talk about some movies?
We can talk about some movies.
Let's talk about some movies. I could talk about a movie that I saw.
Go for it.
It's, okay, so we have been dunking on the American remake of the Japanese anime, manga, whatever.
Mango.
Death Note. That was exclusive to Netflix, but no one had actually seen it, so we were all like, "Well, we can't actually." Well, I have no shame, and so I watched it because I want to accurately be able to explain whether or not it is good.
And you're the one of us with the least exposure to Death Note series.
I went in totally cold. The only exposure I've had to Death Note is that it was a thing that I sold when I worked at FYE in 2008 because that's when it was popular. That's when all the high school kids liked that stuff.
That's where Death Note belongs.
Yeah.
2008.
In 2008 FYE.
Yeah.
Anime slash Corner. Slash, yeah.
Petridge Farm remembers.
Yes. So I watched it not knowing anything about anything, and I can objectively say that it is a terrible movie and no one should watch it. The characters are incredibly one-dimensional. The main character, Light Turner.
Light Turner.
Is super bland and a real wimp. Just the biggest wimp.
Isn't there a part where he just screams for like...
Oh, yeah. He screams like a girl for about 5 minutes the first time he sees Willem Dafoe.
I mean, to be fair, if I just ran into Willem Dafoe, I'd probably do the same thing.
Yeah. His girlfriend character has no personality outside of, I like killing people with this magic book you found.
To be fair, in this show, she doesn't have much personality beyond, I'm in love with Light, he's the greatest.
Yeah, no, she...
Also, she had her own book.
The whole twist of this movie is she doesn't really care about Light, she just wants to kill more people with the book, because she, like, tries to play him into, like... She rips a page out of the book. The whole point of Death Note is there's a magic book that falls out of the sky, and this really angsty teen picks it up, and he finds out it's a book that if you write a person's name in it and explaining how they die, they'll then, like, die, I guess.
It comes true.
It comes true. And so he decides he's going to become a superhero by killing all the bad guys.
Superhero? Is that how they...
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He kind of at one point calls himself a superhero, and he comes up with the fake name called Kira because it sounds kind of like killer in Japanese, but not really because it's just English, and that's kind of racist. It's not real cool, but they do it anyway. So at one point...
Because people would get mad because that's what they call it in the Japanese version, except
mangas.
For they changed everything else, so why not?
Why? Yeah. So, yeah, no, at one point, his girlfriend, who wants this death kill book, rips a page out of the death kill book, which apparently still means it works.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a thing from the thing?
Yeah.
Okay. And she goes, I wrote your name on this thing, and I can burn it and save you, but you gotta give me the book.
Well, you can only have it once. He would just die.
Yeah. No, if you burn the page with the name on it, everybody gets one. You could save that one person from death.
But if she just wrote his name on there, he would just die in like 2 minutes.
No, it's within 48 hours.
Oh.
I watched the movie. It's 48 hours. They have a full 2 days.
You have to write the date and time.
No, you don't. No. You just have 48 hours.
Yeah.
Within those 48 hours, you can basically write an entire book about how they die, and you pretty much mind control them for 2 days. I'm pretty sure that's how it works. I've never seen the anime. I've never read the manga.
In the anime, they pretty much just write people's names down and they die of heart attacks.
Not here.
Unless this is
like super graphic decapitations and like jumping off of buildings and being exploded from the inside.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Super graphically, by the way. Did I mention that? It's like blood splatter all over the place.
This movie sounds awful.
It's not very good.
So does William Dafoe like apples?
He eats apples. He never really talks about how much he enjoys them.
Huh.
But you see...
Then I call bullcrap because Ryuk in the anime and the manga loves apples and can't stop talking about apples.
I mean, you never actually see him eat the apples because the CGI I don't think would work. So you just kind of see apple core roll out from the shadow and then you see these two glowing eyes. You never actually see the full monster in like full light.
Huh.
It's always kind of in shadow with the... Just kind of the silhouette of the spikies in the eyes. Yeah.
Remember when Netflix originals were universally pretty good?
Yeah. I don't think that's the case anymore.
They got to have a stinker once in a while. Hemlock Grove was terrible.
Yeah. No, this one is really bad. So I guess there's this super detective that's going after the main kid, I guess. Is
L.
that a thing?
Yeah. L. L.
Yeah. He sits on chairs weird.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's accurate.
Did he also go to an underground school where you were trained to become the greatest super detective of all time, but if you don't, but only if you survive the first 6 days and don't go crazy? Is that a thing?
I don't think so.
No, he was just a super smart detective kid.
Yeah.
Who worked for Interpol.
Does he wear special UV sunglasses to help him only sleep for an hour?
Nope.
No, what the heck is that?
He wears sunglasses that have UV lights inside them so that he only has to sleep for an hour so that he can eat candy to stay awake the rest of the time.
Yeah, no. I mean, L looked pretty sleep-deprived all the time in the anime.
Yeah.
Like, he always had, like, dark circles around his eyes.
Big bags under his eyes.
Oh, no. He is super awake and wired. Did L chase a light through the streets with a super fancy space gun?
I don't think
so.
Nope. That didn't happen? The part where they tried to shoot, where the guy who said, "I don't shoot guns," tries to shoot and murder the main protagonist of the movie? That didn't happen in the books?
Nope.
No.
Oh, that's funny. Happened in this movie.
So you're saying it's not accurate?
I'm saying it is probably the furthest from accurate. It's super bad.
Man, the way you describe it, I almost feel like the Mario Brothers movie is a better adaptation of a existing
IP.
It's
accurate. Yeah, it's accurate.
It's probably a better movie, too.
Oh, sure, yeah. I will say this movie looks pretty neat. It was a lot of, like, the neon, like, dark muted colors lit with bright neons in a lot of scenes. And that's really cool. It looks actually like a movie I think you guys are going to talk about, Neon Demon, a little bit. Kind of has that kind of aesthetic to it. And Willem Dafoe does a great job as the voice and facial mocap of the
Ryuk.
Dead monster.
Dead man monster.
The dead man monster. But everyone else in the movie is just the pits. It's just the worst.
How many My Chemical Romance songs were on the soundtrack?
There were none, but there was in excess, and there were a couple of, there's a whole scene, a climactic scene that takes place at prom, at like the winter prom, but they're like playing the saddest, mopiest, like most goth emo music.
Goth prom.
It's goth prom. Yeah. It's not great.
Why? Oh, wait. I already knew it was going to be bad. That's why I didn't watch it.
Yeah. Well, I did this for you guys. I did this for you. I took the bullet. I watched this movie. Don't watch this movie.
Speaking of Netflix originals.
Yes.
Big Mouth is actually pretty funny.
Okay.
I thought it looked bad because it's ugly as sin.
Yes, because it's ugly as sin.
But it's actually a pretty funny animated adult comedy show.
Cool. What's it about?
Is that the one with like the hormone monster and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. It's a Nick Kroll created show about a bunch of like junior high kids going through puberty, which sounds really gross.
It doesn't sound great. I'm not sold yet.
But it's actually really funny and almost kind of heartfelt. I mean, it feels accurate, I guess.
Mm.
I don't know.
It's weird.
It's weird, but it's actually a lot funnier than I thought. It was just going to be crass garbage, like a lot of adult animated cartoons tend to be, where they're not interested in writing funny jokes. They just want to say gross things.
Yeah, sure.
In place of actual humor.
Hey,
yeah.
BoJack Horseman is great.
No, BoJack Horseman is amazing. The writing on BoJack is
really solid.
Phenomenal. Yeah, that's a great show.
Mm-hmm.
But this is good, too. Not in the same way BoJack is, but yeah, the hormone monster is funny. It's kind of a personification of teenage out-of-control hormones that's voiced by Will Arnett.
Okay.
I was talking about the female one.
There's a female one, too.
Yeah.
It's voiced by Maya Rudolph. That's pretty hilarious.
That's even better.
But each episode is just them dealing with a different, like...
aspect of young...
young adulthood.
Lame.
That sounds all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, the ghost of Duke Ellington lives in his attic, and he goes and talks to him about his problems.
Okay.
And that's pretty funny.
That's a song in each episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's pretty funny.
That's cool.
One of them was like a fake Queen song with a pretty good Freddie Mercury impersonator.
Right on.
when when his friend, the main character's friend, is wondering if he's gay or not. Can't say why, because that's too, a little too ribald for radio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But it's kind of funny.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems like it would not be good, and it sounds like it would be too gross, but it's kind of interesting to see a show tackle this stuff, like, for real.
Mm, okay.
Like, there hasn't been a show about kids going through puberty that is this, like, not afraid to be gross about it, because it is gross.
It is gross, yeah. It is gross. That actually kind of gets into one of the other things I'm going to check out, but we'll talk about it in a little bit. Another Netflix original series, The American Vandal. But, yeah, we can keep talking about it in a sec.
But it's very not for kids, though, either. There's, like, full-on genital nudity. Used sparingly, I think. It still has its impact when it happens. And the character, the school coach character, is hilarious. He's just, like, this weird, like, dumb, gross guy. They did a lot of jokes about Walgreens that for some reason really tickled me.
Yeah. Well, hey, it is prime target, Walgreens. Yeah.
They were like weirdly specific jokes. He was blinded he had pink eye and his eyes were crested shut and he was looking for the Walgreens and he'd keep busting in out of nowhere and being like, is this the Walgreens? I need a $6 copy of, Van Helsing and a 6-foot-long receipt.
Yeah, no, that's Walgreens.
Yeah, am I in the Walgreens yet? Where's that dead Mylar balloon that says wow?
No, that's accurate. Some hot takes on Walgreens.
Yeah.
Nice.
Take them down a peg.
Yeah.
Yep.
At the end of the episode, he breaks through the Netflix next episode screen too.
Oh, cool!
He's like, "You guys watching Netflix? What are you gonna watch next? You gonna do the next episode?"
Wow, you just kind of sounded like that one Rick and Morty character that we can't say the name of.
Oh yeah, a little bit.
Ooh-wee.
Ooh-wee.
Ooh-wee. They did some good callbacks about Netflix too. Like they do a callback to a previous episode, and then the Hormones Monster's like, "Well, they get it because they're binge watching. You're binge watching, right?" They are.
Yeah.
Well, since it's October, we've been trying to watch a scary movie every night.
Okay, cool.
So we have quite a few.
Yeah, you're making us watch a scary movie every night. I wanted to watch Blade Runner last night, but you said not scary enough.
Hey, a post-apocalyptic future where there are kind of robots everywhere, kind of, sort of, scary.
And you don't know who is and who isn't. That's what I said. I mean, it's plenty scary.
It's definitely in my phobias.
Yeah.
But anyway. We started with It Follows.
Okay.
Which was very good. Mm-hmm. An effectively told horror movie with, like, kind of a message. Like, it's at least saying something. I guess we should probably explain what it is.
Probably.
I mean, so we can follow along.
Because it definitely does. It's kind of like a sexually transmitted monster.
Ah, okay.
This guy has it, and then he gives it to the main character girl, and it's just like this monster that will just continuously walk toward you, wherever
fast,
you are.
Just walks
at
you.
Just determinedly walks at you.
Oh, wow.
And it can look like whatever it wants. Sometimes it's random. Sometimes it picks somebody to be particularly spooky at you. You know, like your dad.
Okay, so, and if you stop walking, does it continue to walk?
Yeah.
Okay.
It never stops just walking at you.
Yeah, but if you drive away real far, you'll get some time on it because it can't stop walking.
Oh,
but,
so it just walks. Okay, so it doesn't, like, magic teleport close to you and then walk.
No,
okay.
Because they do a lot of running back and forth, you know, away from it.
Okay.
But it's shot really well. There's a lot of really great wide shots where you can see the monster walking in the, like, you can pick it out like a Where's Waldo situation.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's cool.
It's just a really clever, really well done movie.
Yeah, sounds like it.
I feel like it was it takes place in Detroit. I feel like it was trying to say something about urban poverty or something that didn't quite come across.
Ah, okay.
But the other, like, the, it's a good twist on the don't have sex because a monster will kill you concept that every horror movie has had since the
dawn 70s. Of time.
Yeah, the dawn of time.
Yeah. See, I think I missed that day in sex ed. The don't have sex because a monster will walk at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an STD monster.
Yeah, I mean,
is the concept of the movie.
Yeah.
There's some great shots of it just determinately throwing a rock through a window across the street and crawling through the window.
Nice.
So it just, like, does it mindlessly, like...
Yeah.
Like, knocks a couple times at the door, waits a second, just picks up the rock.
And just
a very semi-considerate monster.
I think all the kids were well characterized and interesting.
Mm.
But yeah, this one I really liked. I would recommend it for your Halloween spook time viewing.
Okay, awesome.
Then after that, we watched Chopping Mall.
Chopping Mall, which
you guys have seen.
We have seen Chopping Mall. That is a
bad movie night movie.
Yep, that was a great movie.
And after I watched it, I didn't know it was a bad movie night movie. I was like, this would make a great bad movie night, and because it was.
It was.
That's what the guy does.
Yeah.
The quintessential, like, 80s movie, like...
Mm-hmm. Jock idiot.
Jock idiot, yeah, is in this movie.
Yeah.
But it's about a mall where some teenagers?
The 40-year-old teenagers.
Yeah. Stay over to have a party in an empty furniture store. Little did they know, this mall is staffed by killer robots.
Yeah. Well, no, they're not originally killer robots. They're security robots that get zapped by lightning.
Yeah, like a
and
little
then go
bit.
On a murder, go on a very slow murder rampage.
Yeah. I thought they move pretty fast for robots on those treads.
Well, I guess they do. Yeah. Yeah.
They got the little grippy hands.
The little tiny arms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When they come at
raising
you.
The roof.
Yeah, they raise the roof at you.
Yeah.
Not scary.
No,
but yeah, what's up with like 80s movie robots and getting struck by lightning and something happening to them?
Yeah, this is like the reverse Johnny Five.
I know.
Yeah.
Hey, laser lips.
Yeah. It was kind of interesting in the very opening of the movie where they're doing like the press, like explaining about the robots and everything. Do you know why they kept cutting back to those two super overacty?
No, and I really wondered why they bothered.
So the director of this movie also directed another movie called Eating Raoul, which is a cult classic about a married couple who open a winery and food place and can't afford to keep it open. So what they do is they lure people in, murder them, grind the bodies up into food, into meat. It's modern Sweeney Todd. And then they also take their wallets and use that money to help fund their winery. Those characters are played by Paul Bartel and Mary Woronoff, and they reprise their role
this. So it's like a callback.
It's like a really weird, super weird callback.
That's why he was like, we could use these in our restaurant.
Yeah.
The people we don't want. Okay.
Yeah. It's a super obscure... And actually, you I'm surprised you didn't recognize Mary Woronoff because she was in Death Race 2000.
She was the
one main female driver, like the one that kept flirting with Sylvester Stallone before he was Sylvester Stallone in that movie. But yeah, that's who those two are, and it was just weird and out of place. But it's because the director directed Eating Raoul as well.
But it's a fun schlocky. Goofy movie.
Super schlocky. Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah. Yeah, super schlocky, and then that girl's head explodes.
A really good head explosion.
Yeah, that was
solid movie head explosion.
Yeah, I mean, as far as head explosions go, like, top tier, A+.
And they showed again at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's their one good effect.
Yeah.
They're like, we did a really good job on this. We're proud of this
one. We gotta get our money's worth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
My favorite part is when they think they beat the one robot, and it's on its side, and then the guy's like, robot blood. But like you don't see the robot blood and it has nothing to do with the plot. But in case you were wondering, there was robot blood.
Yeah.
So I guess I would recommend that one too if you're in for a goofy, good,
really
time.
Dumb movie.
Yeah.
Oh, it's perfect trash.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect trash.
And then not the last movie. Well, actually,
let's actually come back to that after the break. We have some more check it outs we're going to do because we have plenty to talk about and not a lot of news. So let's hold off. Let's put a pin on it. And we'll come back after a break.
my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It got on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east, to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun.
In a shoot-ball.
The party had just begun.
In a shoot-ball.
The guests included Wolfman,
in a shoot-ball.
Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash. Out from his coffin, Rex's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said, whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool, Drax a part of the band, and my monster mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them what it said.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
Hey everybody, we're back. You were just listening to Monster Mash by Bobby Boris Pickett. We're just kind of getting in the holiday spirit since it's Halloween month, because this is the one holiday that I'm okay with the holiday creep.
Yeah. I love Halloween. It's my favorite holiday.
It's a good holiday.
Just love the month of October.
Yeah.
Like the weather's great, everything's nice.
If it could stay this weather year round, I'm okay. Like early October. Like by the end of October it's all snowing and stuff, and I'm not down for that.
It's more rain than it's snow.
And I'm still not down for it.
It gets crappy toward the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were talking about the horror movies you guys were watching. Right?
Yes.
You have one more?
No, we have two more.
Two more. Let's roll through them quick, because we all have more stuff to talk about.
The next one we watched was The Neon Demon, which I thought was beautiful garbage.
Okay.
It was shot really well. Everything looked really great, but the plot was stupid and didn't say anything anybody hasn't already said a million times.
Yeah.
It was about a new young girl who enters the world of modeling, and guess what? It's not so great.
Okay. Was that the Charlize Theron movie, or is that... I'm thinking of something else. No, I'm thinking of Atomic Blonde. Never mind. That's totally different.
Yeah.
That's totally 100%
different.
Yeah,
that's an action movie.
Yeah.
But two
Must
girls
of
get,
Atomic Warheads.
Get jealous of her natural beauty,
mm.
and... Should we spoil it? I mean, I don't
think... It's relatively new. We probably shouldn't spoil
it. Okay. I mean, I really wouldn't recommend it.
Okay.
Not really spoiler. The Amazon classifies it as a horror thriller. Nothing is horrifying, and it's definitely not thrilling.
So it's just a movie.
Yeah. It's scenes on film, and occasionally
really
there's dialogue.
Scenes.
Yeah, everything's stretched out.
And lingers. Like, I think you're supposed to just, like, take it in.
Like a bad fart.
Hold it in.
But it's gorgeous. It's shot beautifully. Like
it's by the director who did Drive.
Oh, okay. God, who was?
And he puts his name all over the movie, too. Let me take a look. Real proud of himself.
Nicholas.
Winding Refn.
Well, yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
Yeah, totally Nicholas.
Well, instead of Winding, I called him Nicholas Wingdings.
Wingdings. but these two other models get jealous of her, and then they eat her.
That's spoilers.
I know, but I don't care. It's hard to talk about it if you don't. I think it says it in the description on Amazon anyway. But they eat her to, you know, gain her knowledge and power.
Oh, that's weird.
Sorry, we're kind of going back for a second. I looked up because I was thinking of directors. The guy who did Death Note, he's slated to direct Godzilla vs. Kong.
Oh, no.
Adam Wingard.
No.
He did those VHS movies that are terrible.
Oh, I hate those VHS movies.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's him.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
But Neon Demon is like somebody was sitting in a room with the director. They were talking about modeling, and then he was like, those girls are really eating each other alive out there. And then he went, what if they really were? And like, it's just so heavy-handed and like, well, yeah, modeling is competitive. We all know this. You're not breaking any new ground with these opinions.
Yeah, that just doesn't sound very good.
Yeah. It was Banksy's Dismal Land of movies.
God, that was an awful movie too.
That wasn't a movie.
Oh,
it was the art installation. Yeah.
No, I guess the other the Disney thing I'm thinking of is Trapped in Disneyland or something like that.
I kind of liked that movie.
Yeah, that one was all right.
The one they filmed it completely in Disney World without Disney knowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all right. It has moments.
Yeah. That's the best way to describe that one. It has its moments.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah, Neon Demon, don't watch.
Okay. What was the last one you saw?
David Cronenberg's Rabid.
Oh, okay. Right
and
on.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, nothing wrong with some Cronenberg.
Yeah, I looked up a list of that ranked all of Cronenberg's movies, and this one was square in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about right.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't bad. It had some great gross stuff that you would expect in a Cronenberg movie.
Yeah, but it wasn't The Fly.
Yeah, it was no The Fly.
Yeah.
I mean, people were rabid.
Well, sure. Yeah, that's you. Yeah.
That. It exploded on a huge scale that was impressive for the time. Like, it's not a really weird how the patient zero, Marilyn Chambers, infects people. She has like a weird sphinctery opening in her armpit.
Ooh.
That like this thing comes out of with a syringe in it.
Ah.
And that infects people with the rabies-like disease, and it just follows her around trying to figure out what the heck's happening to her. And
yeah, that sounds like a Cronenberg.
Yeah,
serious body horror.
Sounds like some stupid Species crap.
It wasn't. It was better than that.
Yeah. You're talking about bad movies. Jeez.
This was not a bad movie. Rabid was pretty good, but that's the horror movies we've watched. We'll probably do this again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you're watching one every day, you'll have another, you know what, 7 days worth next time we record?
Yeah.
Sure. 7 days.
Okay.
I don't want to watch The Ring. I'm not going to watch that again.
Okay. Well, I alluded to this a little earlier. One of the things I checked out was another Netflix original. It's an 8-part miniseries called American Vandal. This is a Funny or Die production, which I didn't realize until the very, very end. But the whole thing is it's a... one of those like true crime style kind of things set up like the podcast Serial or like where it's like trying to, you know, there was a crime committed and then it's trying to unravel the truth, a documentarian trying to.
It's like Making a Murderer.
It's like Making a Murderer. Yeah, basically. And it's actually a really good satire of that. But it's set at a high school where the burnout class clown is expelled for. I can't say what he did on the radio, but he drew some graphic images on 27 faculty cars.
Yes, that is what he drew.
That is what he did.
The first thing you thought of was what it was.
That's exactly what he did. And the whole thing follows this kid who's part of the school AV club who, as it turns out, has been making terrible YouTube movies like throughout his childhood and has decided, I'm going to make a documentary on this and try to see if this kid, Dylan Maxwell, the burnout, is actually guilty or innocent. And it has all the tropes of like a Making the Murderer or a Serial, where at one point the documentarian gets a little too close to the subject and kind of starts screwing things up a little bit. And there's a lot of talking heads with like various students and school faculty. And a lot of them say stuff that end up getting themselves in trouble later on down the line. And it unravels like a mystery. Like there's a legit mystery, but also it's a, you know, 4 hour long dick joke, basically.
I watched the trailer for it on Netflix and I'm like, this is definitely one I'm going to go back and watch.
Oh,
it sounds great.
It's super good. And episode 8 is surprisingly raw and not funny. Like, it gets almost very serious by the end. It gets kind of a bummer ending a little bit.
It gets real.
And it's crazy how well they characterized, like, all of the supporting cast in the show, because I can pinpoint people in my high school career, both teachers and students, who were these characters,
these tropes.
Like, they're like the burnout kid, Dylan. Everyone's had a Dylan in their class. Like, the thinks he's super hilarious, doesn't do anything in school, constantly yells at teachers, just gets high constantly out of school. Like, the guy that they're following is not a good person. Like, the focus of the documentary is a terrible human being. Yeah. And his group, the Wayback Boys, do really poorly thought out jackass style YouTube videos. A lot of it is social media, circles around social media as well. And you talk to the student body president, you talk to this, that, and the other. There was a teacher, Mr. Krasinski, the Kraz, who is like that young teacher that wants to be everyone's super close super buddy. That's going to be, you know, tells how it is and is super raw. It's like, I don't hang out with the faculty. I'm one with the students. Samantha, do you remember Bishop?
Yeah.
It's Bishop. It's 100% Bishop.
That's funny.
Yeah. And at one point early in the documentary, he's, you know, they're talking about, you know, various things, and he goes, they're trying to, the whole prank
vandalism
is pinned on him because of the testimony of one student who one whole episode is devoted to deciding whether or not that student is a huge, huge liar. And guess what? He is. And there was one, because they kept going back to a specific act that was done between him and the hottest girl in school that he keeps claiming happened, you know, it totally happened 100%. And they cut to the teacher, Kraz, and he's like, seriously? No, like that, there's no way that, like, I would never say that a student is super hot, but like, oh my God. And then two episodes later, when they do an episode where like the documentary started showing up, like episodes have started showing up on YouTube in universe, and it's starting to pick up a lot of steam, and that teacher got fired because, you know, it's like, and they cut to him. He's sitting in his garage, like lifting weights. And he's like, you know, I don't, you know, yeah, just ask me whatever. I don't care anymore. Like, I don't work there. Should I have said that a student was hot? No, I shouldn't have. That's, so he's like talking about some of the other teachers, kind of, you know, inside baseball kind of stuff. And then he goes, and by the way, if anyone needs any, you know, history stuff done, like, I can't go back to teaching, but, like, yeah, any history, I'm good for that. Plus I play bass. So yeah, no, it's, but no, it's really, really super well done. And it takes twists and turns. There are multiple, I've looked into the online, there are multiple theories on who actually did the act, because it's kind of left up in the air.
Nice.
Yeah. But no, it's super, super good. I would definitely check it out. A lot of stuff I can't talk about on the show because this is a PG show on the radio. I would love to talk about the show in depth. If you see me on the street, I'll tell you all about it. Super great. Also, Josh, you would probably get a kick out of this. There's an actress named Camilla Hyde who plays a minor role in a handful of the episodes. She was the pink Dino Charge Ranger.
Oh, okay.
From Power Rangers Dino Charge from a few years ago.
Oh, Dino Charge.
And she's actually one of the best actresses on the show.
When Tommy came back again.
Nope. You're wrong.
Oh, no. Dino Charge. Oh,
nope,
that's right.
You're wrong.
That was the one
That was the one where
right
they
before
had,
Ninja Seal.
Yep, that's the one where they had the special crystals, and there's like 11 of them.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Okay.
No, you're thinking of Dino Thunder.
Yeah.
Where they had Professor Tommy Oliver.
Yeah.
Which made no sense. Thank you for turning the light off.
That was the wrap up the Power Rangers stuff.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. Good. Thanks.
American Vandal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mockumentary, right?
It's a mockumentary.
So how would you like scale that with like other mockumentaries like A Mighty Wind? And,
it's pretty
know,
high
Preston
up there.
Show?
It's pretty high up there. I tell you what really did it for me about a halfway through the series. There's an episode they keep alluding to a huge high school like underage drinking party called Nana's Party. And there's like episode 4, they describe in detail Nana's Party, where it was like this girl's grandmother went out of town for the weekend and like the entire school came over to the house and totally wrecked it. And they're trying to follow this bottle of spray paint throughout the party. And of course, the documentarian and his cameraman weren't invited to the party, so they weren't there firsthand to get anything. So they're taking like bits of video put up on social media on Instagram and YouTube and all this stuff, and piecing together a timeline following like the bottle of spray paint through the party, and they have like reenactments, and they throw the video up on screen, so you're following this thing throughout the entire night. It's crazy. And I could see where they got a lot of the sponsorships, because they say Instagram and YouTube a lot. There's also an episode where they follow Dylan, what he's been doing while he was expelled. He works for Postmates, and he's delivering, and which is like a food delivery thing. And he, for like a minute, he just lists off different fast food chains. You know, people call me and they have me deliver their Jack in the Box or their Starbucks or their Wendy's or, you know, this, that, the other. And that's how they got their money for the series, was because they got all their advertising out in one 2-minute chunk. Plus, I kind of hate the documentarian by the end. Like, the kid is very opportunistic. Like, he's
kind of like a predator.
No, not really a predator. He's like using everyone else's kind of... He doesn't really care about the subject. He's just using it as a springboard because he wants to make a good film. And he does it under the veneer of, like, I'm trying to get the truth, when in fact he's just trying to become more popular.
Yeah, it's the exact thing you don't want out of a documentarian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then again, the kid's supposed to be 16. So like, that's – and you have a lot of, like, high school kid drama stuff. Anyway.
He's no Brandon Smalls, right?
Brandon Small.
What?
What?
Home Movies.
Brandon Small,
whatever his name is.
And no, definitely not.
Home Movies was a cartoon.
No,
about
it. I understand.
Okay.
Yeah, Home Movies is one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, it's a good
of
show.
All time.
It's a good show, but I don't know how that, other than
I was thinking about the
main characters have cameras. I don't see how that.
He's just always trying to make movies. I don't know.
Right, okay. Okay, so the last thing I checked out, and this is going to be real quick, there's a new show on Fox, I think, called
Fox?
I think Ghosted. I watch it on Hulu, so I don't really know. Might be NBC. I don't really know. But it's called Ghosted.
It's not CBS. That's
it's not for CBS. No. It's starring Adam Scott and...
I saw the commercial for
this. What's his name? The other guy. What's his name? The big guy from Hot Tub Time Machine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Chris Robinson?
Yeah, yes. That's it. Chris Robinson. Yep. Thank you. And it's about these two guys that follow, that are... get looped into this underground secret CIA company that follows paranormal activity, and it's okay. It seems as though the pilot, they filmed an hour-long pilot and then was told, chop it down to 23 minutes, because there is a lot.
It was dense.
Where they just, it's a lot that's just missing. Like, there's almost no characterization outside of Adam Scott's character was a scientist, was a Harvard professor whose wife was abducted by aliens, and everyone thinks he's crazy and now has to work in a bookstore. Chris Robinson was a police detective who got his partner killed and is now a security guard at a mall. And that's all their characters are. There's a female tech, like Q, kind of, for the group. I can't tell you her name or any of her motivations outside of she makes gadgets. Like, none.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like there are whole chunks of the episode that are just missing, like exposition and stuff, in service of kind of lackluster improv done by Chris Robinson. Yeah, it's and not that he's bad at improv. It just the show that it was. It's a pilot episode. It could have used more plot, less 5-minute improv about pretending to be printer repairmen. Yeah, not. I don't know. It was all right. I'll watch more of it, but that first episode was not. It was not as stellar as I wanted it to be.
Yeah, I like saw previews for it and stuff, and I was like, I think I'll pass.
Yeah,
like it reminded me of like a comedy RIPD.
Not even that. Yeah. It's more like a weak Men in Black.
Yeah,
that also has ghosts because they just call it paranormal. They can do ghosts or
Bigfoot.
Yeah, they actually name drop Bigfoot at one point.
You
they
name can kind of do
whatever.
So basically anything kind of paranormal or cryptozoic.
Yeah.
It's like an X-Files type thing.
Kind of. Very, like yeah, but like still
X-Files.
Not. Goofy X-Files, but not as... Again, I think they had an hour-long pilot that was cut down.
It sounds like a thing Fox would do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think you're right. I think that is Fox.
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing the previews for it when I was watching Orville.
And those previews look great. They look really funny, I think. But... You know, whatever. Okay, who's up?
Well, I played Cuphead.
Yeah, how's Cuphead?
It's really good and really hard.
Yeah, good.
I wanted it to be difficult.
It is very. You will not be disappointed because it's very difficult and very, very good. Ridiculously good looking.
I love the way it looks and sounds.
Yeah, it's a run and gun shooter game that looks like a 30s. Era cartoon and sounds like a 30s era cartoon. Mm-hmm.
It's a run and gun, but it's like 90% boss battles.
Yeah,
actually, it looks a lot like a bullet hell.
It's
all
like,
of those things.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like Contra if Contra was a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's mostly boss fights. The run and gun stages actually feel like an afterthought. Like,
they kind of were.
They're like,
what
we got to put these in, or somebody's gonna get upset that that's not a platformer.
That's kind of what it was. It was built to be you just go from boss to boss and beat them. It was a boss rush kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the boss fights are engaging and fun enough on their own that it doesn't really need the run and guns either.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it's hard, but in a way where like there's always some way you can figure out how to do it.
It's hard but fair.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I fully recommend it. It's fun. If you miss old shooters like Contra
mm-hmm.
and like animation.
Yeah. How far are you into it?
I think my save file says like 30-some percent. I'm at the second part.
World. Okay.
Second world.
Yeah.
I can't get past that Candy Castle.
Oh, man, that one's tough. Yeah. I'm going to end up picking it up on Steam, but I've been watching some Let's Players play some of it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's...
I did the clown
mm-hmm.
and the genie.
That genie takes a while.
Yeah, because there's also spaceship shooter style levels mm-hmm. too, shmup levels.
Yeah, those actually remind me a lot of Super Mario Land.
Yeah,
that last level of Super Mario Land.
Yeah, when Mario's flying his plane, the sky pop.
Yeah,
everybody knows he's got a plane.
Everybody does. That's right. Okay. Well,
it's a great game. It's definitely worth. Picking up.
Yeah.
I wish it was on consoles other than Xbox One. I've been playing it on PC because I don't have an Xbox.
I'd play it on the Switch if it were available.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
Super play it on the Switch. I think it'd work really well, but it's never going to be on there.
Nope, because that's Microsoft's exclusive. That's the one they kept and didn't cancel for some reason.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great game, but it's not going to sell systems. I don't understand why.
I'm just surprised at the game... was released in our lifetime.
Yeah, okay, because it was delayed like three or four times.
I thought my grandkids were going to play Cuphead. Honestly.
When they announced it in like 2013, I think.
Oh, yeah, it's been almost 4 years.
Which, I mean, it shows because the animation is so good and that takes mm-hmm. time, especially because they were doing it traditionally. They were mm-hmm. painting it on cells and scanning the cells.
Yeah, they did an excellent job with it.
I've been super excited for this one for a long time, mm-hmm. just on an art aspect alone of it.
It lives up to the hype, I think.
Cool. You know, I almost bought a Cuphead mug the other day.
Oh,
just because it's just really cool looking.
Yeah.
It's a really neat classic design. And you know, I I like that style of animation, although I typically lean more towards Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies than I do the Disney. Yeah, the Disney style. But, and this is definitely more like old school Disney, like Steamboat Willie style, kind of. But it really super works with this.
The music's good, too. It's super jazzy and cool. Mm-hmm.
Oh, the King Dice music at the stage breaks is, like, excellent.
Yeah. I really want the vinyl soundtrack, but it's also, like, $100 on four LPs.
Yeah, that's, it's a little out of my price range as well. But but given the opportunity, I'd probably...
They are pushing the crap out of that, though. I keep tripping over ads for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Let's see. Have I played anything else recently? Yeah. We talked about Metroid already.
Metroid.
It's good. Metroid.
Yeah.
Golf Story came out. Did I talk about Golf Story?
A little tiny bit.
Yeah. Well, I haven't played it much since then, okay. So I don't have anything to add on that one.
Yeah. Well, it's over, so I can talk about it. I was in a musical. That was kind of cool.
Yes, it was. It was a very good show.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I was in the Addams Family up in Bucyrus, and nothing really to talk about. It was fun and different, and I would do it again, given the opportunity, but, yeah, couldn't really talk about it until it's over because I don't, the whole thing about advertising something on a thing that you're...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if they wanted to pay for an ad slot, they could have.
Yeah. But, no, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Glad I did it.
Oh, we went to the Game Developers Conference.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, how was that?
It was very cool. A lot of local independent developers making their own indie games, and you get to play them.
Cool.
Let's see, what ones did we check out?
There was Drag and Drop.
Was that? What was that? Oh, yeah, that was the first one I played. It was like a platformer, but you could drag and drop in elements of the stage to solve puzzles.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is pretty clever. It had kind of like a stick figure aesthetic, and you'd be dropping in platforms and trampolines to get to the stage. It was pretty neat.
Cool.
And there was also...
What was it called? There was like that Guess Who... Clues.
Oh, yeah, that one by Clickshake Games. It was like a detective game where you're given evidence and four suspects, and you use all the facts you have to narrow it down to figure out who did it, kind of like Clue, but more involved.
Oh, interesting.
And that was really neat. I played through the whole case on that.
Cool.
There was one that was, I forget what it was called, like Excelsior or something? The sprite graphics, four-player, kind of Zelda-y thing. I mean, it basically was Zelda, but you were four people could play all at once.
Okay.
And they had it on a really big TV, and it looked really nice.
You got to play with a random person.
Yeah, three players. And there was like puzzles where you have to use everybody to solve them and push blocks around and kind of like Four Swords.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say it sounds a lot like Four Swords.
Yeah.
Adventure.
So you could get a gun, which is neat.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't tell like what time period it was supposed to take place in because you guys kind of look like spacemen, and they have this boost run they can do.
Okay,
but that was neat. I mean, it wasn't anything like super innovative or anything, but it was cool. There was a company there that makes homebrew NES games, so they had original NES games running on NESs.
Oh wow,
and that was pretty neat. One of them was called Log Jammers, and it's like a two-player versus game.
Okay.
Where you're two lumberjacks on logs moving back and forth, and you're trying to throw an axe into the goals behind them.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's like the game Wind Jammers, but from vertical instead of horizontal, and with less frisbees.
Also a little more Canadian.
Yeah. And there's one called Little Medusa, which was a top-down puzzle game about turning people to stone and pushing them around.
Okay.
Cool. What was the one you played?
Almost Hero something.
You don't remember?
Something Hero, I think. Something like that. But it's basically just a beat 'em up.
Yeah, it looked like
a ninja beat 'em up.
It looked like River City Ransom with ninjas.
Mm.
And this was by a company called Mega Cat Studios.
Cool.
That was pretty cool. There was a really cool kind of point-and-click kind of survival horror one that I played by Wither Studios. It was called, like, I forget the title. Yeah, let me look it up real quick.
Okay.
It was called Immure.
Oh, okay.
And
cool.
You're a guy in like some kind of dark building that has this like tetrahedron power thing that floats around. You control with the other stick, and you can use it to like stun enemies. And has a very, like, nightmare-y looking aesthetic. It was pretty cool.
Cool. All right.
Might have been my favorite one that I played.
Yeah.
That, and we saw a panel with two out of the three McElroy brothers from My Brother, and Me.
Excellent. All right.
The podcast that we all thoroughly enjoy.
Yes.
They were very funny, but it was also very informative. It was about how to make a podcast and the mistakes you shouldn't make that they did.
Okay, how many of them have we made?
Not a whole lot, I didn't think. What? We're pretty good. We did pretty good, honestly.
Okay, good. That's all I needed to hear.
Don't spend too much money and make sure you have fun doing it.
Okay, well, we're there.
Yeah. But yeah, it was cool to see them after listening to so many of their shows and mm-hmm. their content for so long. There was some Adventure Zone cosplayers there, even though it wasn't that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Respect the journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very much meant to be like an inside look at podcasting.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is very interesting when you're part of a podcast.
Yeah, it's interesting because we have an inside look at podcasting. So, well, good. I'm glad you guys went to that. That sounds really cool. I wish I would have was free to
do
that.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Yeah. No, I was on stage, dancing up a storm, poorly dancing the tango while you were down there at that thing.
At the Columbus Convention Center.
In white grease paint. In white grease paint. That's right. Okay, well, I think we've pretty well hit time. We didn't get to any actual news this week.
But that's okay. There wasn't a whole lot.
There wasn't. So, yeah, so we can actually save some of the stuff for next week. So, anyway, thank you all for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, at Nerd Overload Now.
Mm-hmm.
And on YouTube, we're Nerd Overload TV.
Yeah. Like, once we don't have any of those special vanity URLs yet.
Yeah,
but
we need 100 subscribers before we can do that, so go subscribe.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Tell your friends about the show.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Word of mouth is the best way to get the news out there about this show. If you like it, you know, tell your friends.
Yeah, we have a pretty nice show.
Yeah. We work pretty hard. We got a lot of episodes.
We do.
So yeah, go tell a friend.
Almost 200.
Yeah, have them jump in wherever.
Yeah.
You know, there's no running mythology.
Probably not the first 50.
Yeah, don't start at the beginning.
Don't start at the beginning. They're all available, but don't start at the beginning.
Well, you can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
Yep, that's right. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher, so check us out over there if you'd like. And again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Peace out.